we're rolling.
Chief Harold's well, so we'll pause. We won't eat right away. We won't eat right away then.
No.
We'll just do this for a few minutes and then.
Yeah.
However, if you want to.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
No. Well, I have actually on my way to New Zealand. We stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't really get to
see anything.
All. We saw it from the air. That was quite beautiful. But
it's Honolulu's just like any other big city, except it's got palm trees and it's hot. But it's got politics. And it's expensive.
Well, what kind of politics?
Well, everything, all the decisions that are made there are all political. For instance, I've never lived in a place where the land was owned by such huge corporations. For an example, Bishop Estate, which dates back from the days of the Hawaiian monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
They were entrusted to look after the land for the Hawaiian people. But what has happened is that there is a huge percentage of land that falls under the Bishop Estate. And when houses and apartments and condos get built on this land, you own your home or you own your condo, but you don't own the land underneath it. You're paying lease rent to these people to live there. And it usually runs for about 99 years. And when that runs, 99 years. And when that runs out, they renegotiate, and it's usually, in a lot of cases, what's happened is people have been forced out of their homes because they can't afford to pay the lease rent.
So they own the house, but they don't own the land.
Right.
And so if you can't pay the rent on the land, you have to leave your house?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
So what happens to the house?
They put it up for sale. Like there's two, like you get leasehold or you get fee simple. Fee simple means you own the land underneath. And you pay more, and it's cheaper to be on leasehold land because it doesn't include what the lease rent is. And of course, when the lease runs out, you may not be able to afford to live there anymore, so you gotta put it up for sale.
Okay, so part of the politics then there revolves around this the fact that it's quite difficult to live.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and these people, the Bishop Estate trustees are making so much money, it's obscene. I mean, they make like $500,000 a year. And it's, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's just soul greediness at this point. They're not doing what the Bernice Powahi Bishop initially had wanted them to do. Now they're just getting real greedy. And the Hawaiian people are living in poverty. And all these rich people who come from other places or who have very little Hawaiian in them are living very well. So
who are the rich landowners primarily?
White people and Japanese.
Americans? White Americans?
Yes. And British. Mm. British. Some Canadians.
And Japanese too.
And Japanese, yeah. But it's not as bad. It used to be a lot worse before when the Japanese were coming and buying everything that they could lay their hands on. But they do own a considerable amount of property. And what they do is they build, I'm finding out is that Japanese, to me it's logical that you do a study in the area to see what's needed in the area before you go and build something. What they've been doing is they build things that are Japanese or build things that they think that they'd like to have and don't make it. I mean, they're just totally illogical. Their concept of what is good for the community doesn't make any sense. They build a whole lot of Japanese restaurants. Who wants to eat in a Japanese restaurant? There's more than enough. And they build have high price restaurants, and people there cannot afford to dine on expensive wines and nice food. People are into fast food there and things that are cheap and filling. So.
Hmm. Well, okay, so what form does this... I mean, do I sense some resentment? I mean, on the part of people who've been living there for a while.
Well, yeah.
You know, it must be really...
Well, it forces the prices up.
Yeah.
It forces all the rents up. It forces everything up. So the people who have lived there are suddenly being bombarded by these high prices because the Japanese have moved into their neighborhood and everything naturally goes up and everybody wants to renovate, so everybody gets greedy and they want to sell their homes and they jack up the price again. So everybody gets on the bandwagon and they'll sell their mother if they can get a good price, because the Japanese will buy anything. They used to. It's not as bad as it used to be. But
where do you live?
I'm within earshot of the university.
And what kind of part of town is that?
It's sort of a, I'd say it's a neighborhood like this one. It's all a mixed area. It's between students and people who have lived there for a long time. And, the place I'm living in now was actually the first place I lived in when I first moved to Honolulu. And the same resident manager's there. And it's a nice neighborhood. It's relatively quiet, but it's real. I can walk to anywhere. I can bike anywhere. So it's good.
Why did you move to Hawaii?
Well, I had gone there on vacation twice, and I liked it. And I decided to go for my citizenship, and I got it, because my dad was American, and my brother was American, and my mother was Canadian. So I got my citizenship, and off I went. It seemed like such a nice place to live. And I figured, heck, I have no ties, I have nothing to keep me back, so off I went.
And you've been there since?
Yeah, I've been there 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
And time to move on.
Yeah, that's what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, partly because of the expense, but are you also, you just want to live somewhere else now?
Yeah, predominantly the expense, and it's, being in Hawaii, you're really remote. I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere, literally, and it's not, you just can't get in a car, get in a bus, and just go travel somewhere. You got to get in a plane, and it's usually expensive to go anywhere. So,
have you toured some of the other islands? Have you been around?
Yeah.
Must be beautiful.
Oh, the Big Island of Hawaii, where the active volcano is constantly erupting. It's really awesome to go to experience that, because you just, it's like Mother Nature is at her strongest.
Angriest.
And to see the lava, and you're able to stand close enough to see the lava coming down and feel the heat. And it's just so powerful. It's just really awesome experience to be standing so close to something that alive. It's just really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And Kauai, which is an absolutely beautiful island, but unfortunately it got devastated in Hurricane Iniki.
Hold on a second.
Good Lord, what was that? Anyway, it got devastated in Hurricane
Iniki.
We didn't get much of it in Honolulu, but they really got it wiped out. And as a matter of fact, the previous hurricane we had, Eva, back in 1982, wiped them out too. So they always end up getting the worst. Oh, good grief.
All right.
But
we were on hurricanes.
Yeah.
I guess you're right out there in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
And we're just everything. Oh. All right, hurricanes.
Hurricanes. Yes. amidst the carrot juicing. The island of Kauai always gets hit the worst. But it's a beautiful island.
Have you ever seen a hurricane?
Well, I've been in a hurricane. When I first, as a matter of fact, the year I moved there in 82, that was Hurricane Eva. And it was really awesome as it was coming in, because the sky was black and the waves in Waikiki, which are rarely above a foot, were mounting like 6 feet high. And the water was dark and it was eerie. It was just really spooky. And as the sort of the wind picked up and the power went out, because I was working in one of the hotels on the beach at the time, the power went out and it was just total chaos in the hotel, of course, because I couldn't give anybody hot food. And it was, the wind was incredible, and we were all running around with candlelight trying to help the guests out, and it was just really goofy.
And then you can see you could see the clouds coming?
Well, it's just basically very, very high wind, extremely high winds and rain. And when I went home that night, we had no power at all. And the next day when I went into work, and it had finally died down considerably, the water from the beach, I mean, literally the ocean had washed right into the hotel and into the loading dock. And I mean, people were waist high in water. It had gone in that far. And a lot of hotels, their basins had just been wiped out. The sand, everything was just right in. it was just incredible. This, you don't realize how destructive Mother Nature can be until you experience something like a hurricane.
Quite a target though, Hawaii, really, for winds coming through the Pacific.
But a lot of times, we're really lucky because a lot of times we get a lot of hurricanes just coming through or tropical storms and they kind of die out before they get there.
Oh, really?
We've been fortunate and we've been prepared for whenever there's an earthquake somewhere. Sometimes it'll trigger a tsunami, which is a tidal wave. And we've had a couple of the tsunami watches. And we, as a matter of fact, they had the air raid sirens going a couple of years ago because they were expecting one. And getting everybody to high ground and everything, and the traffic was wild. And it was just crazy. And it ended up, we ended up with a 2-foot wave. So, but you think, this is the first time you've ever had one? You're not better prepared?
Try to be big. So what do you do in Honolulu?
Well, I work for the Program on Conflict Resolution, which is at the University of Hawaii.
This is what kind of program? Radio program?
No, it's not it's not a radio program. We work with people to help them in conflict resolution.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we do trainings and stuff.
No, it's the name of a TV show, yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to take a class in prejudice reduction, training leadership. So I'll go back and I'll be helping the community.
So you mean you teach at the university? There's like a workshops or?
Well, it's more like termed as facilitation. We facilitate groups and help them to acquire these skills and use them in the workplace or on campus. And for myself personally, taking this prejudice reduction is also helping me because I'm on the university task force for sexual orientation. And that's been in existence for about a year. And it's been helping people who, like the gay and lesbian faculty, staff, students, to have any problems with discrimination. And they've been doing workshops for departments as they ask for them to help them deal with the problems as they come up. So there's been more demand, and I'm also going to be doing a couple of trainings for the Gay and Lesbian Community Center when I get back to it.
And the radio show now that you're involved in, what is that?
That's University of Hawaii's radio station, is KTUH, and it's located on campus, and our show is called The Tropical Fruit Show. How appropriate. But my girlfriend, Jeannie Welch, is the DJ. She's gone through the whole training, and she's a bona fide DJ. It's actually her show. I come in and do a segment called Coffee Talk with Pat the Cat. And I talk about things that are going on in the community and just sort of relevant things that are happening around that people need to know about. Because not everybody in the community keeps their ear to what's happening. And for anybody who's listening and who's awake at that time, because we're on between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., can pick up some news. And they can call in if they happen to miss anything. So I'm really glad we have it.
So it's a mixture of mostly music, but lots of news and bits of information and community announcements and listings.
Yeah. And it's in a constant state of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to, you know, as things go along, as we move along, we can adapt it to community needs. And if people call up and they want to make some suggestions, you know, we'll toss it up in the air and see how it works. But it's, nothing's cut in stone, so we're pretty flexible.
What's the community structure like there? I know it's a bit of a broad question, but how's the lesbian community like?
Interestingly enough, you really have to be proactive if you want to get involved in the community. You just can't sit at home and hope for things to happen or meet somebody on the street. And that's exactly what I did. Matter of fact, when I first, I've only been out a year. Yeah. And I found out about a lesbian support group that meets every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the YWCA, which happens to be right across the street from the university. And I went there, and I've been going ever since. And it's a great way to meet. You won't meet every lesbian there is, but you'll get a good sense of the community. And when there are things going on, like potlucks, summertime, there's always parties, potlucks, all kinds of events going on all the time. Then you get to meet more, and then there are these annual events that they have on the beach where there are like maybe a couple of hundred, and you see faces that you never see, and then you wonder, where are they all year round? Because they sort of come out once, and that's it. You never see them again. So there are a lot of them out there, but we just don't know. So it's really neat. And as a matter of fact, when I get back in August, later on in August, there's a Wild Women's Weekend happening on Kauai. And this apparently is the second, I'm not sure, of its kind. And what it is, it runs from August the 20th to the 23rd. And you camp out, or you can get a bunk. And it's all lesbians, and there's music, and there's crafts, and stuff to do, and hikes, and it's just fun.
Well, it sounds like it's in a beautiful location.
Yeah.
You know? Imagine having a festival in Kauai.
Boy, yes. Looking forward to it.
Is it large, the community, lesbian community? I mean, as far as you can tell.
Gosh, it's hard to say.
Do you find yourself? No, as you said, actually, I was just going to ask you if you find yourself running into the same women, but then you just said, no, well, every now and again you meet somebody and you wonder where they've been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's initially hard to tell how big the community is, because we have a mailing list that's been generated through the support group, and there's close to 100 names on it. But usually on any given night, there's the most, maybe 30 will show up. And there's like a core group that are always there, and some others that faces that I recognize. And once in a while, some people will come in and say, oh, I haven't been here in about a year or two. Excuse me. So it's a fairly good-sized community.
Mm-hmm. Is Honolulu a big city? Really big?
Population-wise, I couldn't tell you. But it's a fairly large city, but I'd say it's... A lot of it is transient because of the military. So we have a huge military community because we have so many military bases. So they're there for as long as their tour of duty is, and then they're off again when somebody else comes in. So there are we have a lot of lesbians who are in the military as well. And so that has been a big topic of conversation with that, you know, the gays in the military issue.
So what's the buzz around Honolulu in the lesbian community about that, then?
Well, basically, from the ones who are in the military, they wouldn't come out anyway, because it's not, even if the laws were to be made more lenient, there really wouldn't be much of an advantage to come out. As a matter of fact, maybe even detrimental. So
things would probably just stay exactly the way they are.
I think, for a while. Because as Clinton has changed, well, amended, or more like reworded what it was before, really nothing has changed. I mean, other than if you don't ask, don't tell, but if they should find out, you're out. So nothing's really changed.
Right. What about gay men and lesbians working together? That has been the topic of some conversation.
That, you know, it's really interesting. I've known, long before I known any lesbians, my sister excluded.
Yes, you and your sister are both lesbians.
Right.
Same family. There's another one, yeah?
Yep. Yes.
Another family.
I used to have a lot of gay men friends. And when I came to Honolulu, I acquired gay men friends as well. And I've noticed that a lot of lesbians don't hang out or even make friends with gay men. And they're real adamant against it. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just you're trying to do a reverse discrimination kind of a thing, but I don't know what it is, but the men, as in most communities, dominate the financial end of it. They own all the businesses. They're more out and more visible in the community. And they kind of work together, but they don't really work together enough, I don't think, to make it a really cohesive community, because during this time, especially when we really need to work together, when there are so many opposing forces out there, it's really important that we, you know, get together as a family and work on a common goal, because we're all in the same boat, really. So,
yeah, well, at least there is something we do. There is a commonality.
Yeah. And there are no women's. There's one women's bar, and I think another one just opened while I was away. And but I don't know if they're. I think they still may be male owned, and I'm not sure.
Are there a lot of men's bars?
There's one. There are a couple of men's bars.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally speaking, men can. They've got the finances to sustain a couple of different bars.
And we don't have a bookstore. We get our books predominantly through one of the, it seems really strange, mainstream bookstores, which will order books for us and has an alternative lifestyle book section. But the one and only store that we do have that sells stuff that's run by male, and it's predominantly all, like 90% of the stuff in there is all males.
Mm-hmm.
So there really isn't anything for us to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to buy anything women related, we have to get a subscription to something or go to the mainland and do it that way. But
mm-hmm. That's a heck of a way. The mainland's a long ways away.
Sure, it's kind of an expensive way to do it.
Now, you were saying earlier before the interview, you said that you were here for our Pride Day last Sunday.
Yeah.
And you had fun.
Yeah. It was completely unexpected because I didn't know it was happening until my sister told me. Because we had our Pride Day on June 26th. And I was in that parade. And
so is that, what kind of an affair is that? Larger, smaller?
You know, I'd say about the same size as here. I was expecting this one to be monstrous, but it wasn't. I'd say it's pretty comparable, but it was a lot rowdier here. People really get rowdy at this one, but Honolulu is very low-key.
Oh, yeah?
Very low-key, very conservative by comparison, and we have a lot more drag queens. And the drag queens here are don't seem to be as flamboyant as the ones that we have in Hawaii. And I have a feeling a lot of it has to do with back in the Hawaiian culture, before the arrival of the Captain Cook, homosexuality was accepted. It was an accepted part of the culture. And there are a lot of gays in the Hawaiian culture and in entertainment and in politics in Hawaii, but they're just not out. And so it's a shame that they don't support our parade, and our parade would be monstrous if they all did come out.
So what you're saying basically is that before the conquerors came to Hawaii, that homosexuality was a part of their tradition and kind of an accepted part of their culture. I mean, you know, it's the native people here too in North America, or in Canada specifically, also had some tradition of two-spirited people, but you know, it was pretty much taken away mm-hmm. when all kinds of other rules and regulations were instituted, and so it's are there vestiges of that in Hawaiian culture now, or I guess I'm just wondering what the dynamic is, because it was, I mean, it's off on its own little islands and all, but mm-hmm. By the sounds of it, there seem to be a lot of, you know, other people other than Hawaiians there. And are they kind of, are Hawaiians the minority at this point, or?
Yeah, they are a minority, unfortunately, and because of the interracial marriages, there are very few pure Hawaiians left. There's a mixture of Portuguese, Japanese, Chinese. So there's, when you meet somebody, and Korean, you have to ask somebody what your background is, and very few people will say I'm just one or the other. They're usually a mixture of everything. So it's just kind of a spillover of all the different cultures. But the Hawaiian culture is very strong. They really keep it alive. The hula. Children learn the hula at a very, very young age, and it's not just learning a dance, it's learning the history, it's learning the traditions, learning the language. So they really keep that very, very strong. I'm glad that they do that, but unfortunately, it's really a shame that they are a minority and that a lot of their traditions have been literally squashed by Christianity and homosexuality being one of them. But, they're starting to now dig up some of this stuff from the old time. Like, they had a huge 2-page article in one of the newspapers on homosexuality in the Hawaiian community. And they showed some prominent faces of people from history. I'm sure a lot of people had either forgotten about it, or a lot of people didn't even know about it. So it was a real eye-opener to find out about those things and to see that these things were acceptable at one time. But somebody came along and told you, hey, that's no good.
Well, it's a sin.
Yeah, it's a sin. Sure, just like hula was considered a sin.
Really?
Because it was so...
That's a dance, isn't it?
The hula is a dance, but it tells a story. And it's a form of communication. Because they use their hands and their body movements. And it's absolutely beautiful. But it's seen as provocative, erotic. So,
therefore,
take it from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's back. I mean, they're keeping it very much alive.
Is it just as provocative and erotic? Or have there been...
Well...
It's hard to
say. If you see the traditional hula, it would be. But the stuff that they have in the hotels and they have luau's and stuff, it's very commercialized and very... they'll show you more of the Tahitian, which is very very loud and noisy and really fun. So you get a lot of the different islands of the Polynesian islands, and you get to see how they dance, and they're also completely different from one another. So it sort of takes away from the real meaning of the dance, and tourists never see that. They just get to see the commercial stuff
in the hotel lobby.
Well, actually, most hotels have like showrooms where they have they take place, and they charge an exorbitant amount of money to have a dinner show or whatever.
But now your stay in Hawaii is coming to an end, you feel, as we I think we started the whole interview with this. But what is your background? Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
From where?
I'm from here. I'm from Montreal. But my mother was German, Russian. My dad was black. I think he had some Native American. He had some Jewish in him. He had a lot of different things.
Wow.
So kind of a mixed background myself. So I kind of blend in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
And where are you thinking of going now?
I haven't a clue. I sat down yesterday at the typewriter and I decided to get it down on paper and sort of get some ideas. Where do I want to go? Where don't I want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And would I go to the States? Would I come back to Canada? After living in the States, American politics, that old thing about the ugly American. Oh, they live. Oh boy, do they live. But they're not all that way.
Yeah.
But I have a pull towards Canada. I may end up coming back to Canada, but where, I don't know right now. I heard from a woman I met last time I was here visiting. She moved out to Saskatoon. Apparently, there's supposed to be a really great community out there, and she's involved with the radio station out there too. So I'm going to give her a buzz and find out what's happening. Because Saskatoon, I would never have imagined. Good grief! In the middle of the wheat fields,
surprise.
So who knows?
Well, thank you, Pat. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad we connected.